This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
So this is uncharted territory for me. We're going to be talking about finding love on today's show, finding love in the age of Corona. So wish me luck. This is Voice of SMEs on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj. Now, if you've been following the show since the early days of the MCO, you will know that this is the show where entrepreneurs really let it out. The pain, the suffering, the turmoil that kept them up at night during and after the lockdown period here in Malaysia. But they also share key learnings of the trials and errors that help them live another day in hopes that you and your business can benefit from their hardships. It's the essence of hashtag Kita Jaga Kita. Now on today's show, Joanne Ng, CEO of Dateworks, is going to endeavor to do the same. Now, Dateworks is a Malaysian matchmaking agency that offers personalized matchmaking, date coaching, image consultation, and singles events. And at the crux of their service is a personalized, customized, face-to-face relationship with their clients. So how did they cope during the MCO, and how has the general inability to meet physically changed their offerings and services? Well, here's Joanne Ng, CEO of Dateworks.
Okay, my name is Joanne Ng. I'm the CEO at Dateworks. We are a matchmaking company in Malaysia. So we're a team of certified matchmakers. We are serious about finding Malaysians a serious relationship. Dateworks started in the year 2017. We cater to all races, all religions, also all nationalities, actually.
All right, Joanne, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I want to go back to March 16th specifically. What were your major concerns when you heard that there was going to be a movement control order?
Our Dateworks, we focus on face-to-face meeting. We have nothing done online. Even our consultations, our meetings between clients were all face-to-face. So when this happened on March 16, of course, our biggest concern is how are we going to match our clients, and our products, our services are catered, you know, to it's a very personalized service. That's what we believe all this while. And from there, we continued our matchmaking. And also, I have to tell you this, because in January, we've also extended our services to Japan. So we have cross-border matchmaking as well. February was our first group of Japanese who came over for the matchmaking. So when that happened, of course, you know, we had a lot of expansion plans. We were afraid that are we going to make it? We were actually in the midst of expansion already. And what we did was, initially was just for the 2 weeks of MCO. We have agreed to continue to matchmake our clients, but postpone the dates to a later date when it's safer.
So when you said bring the Japanese down, do you mean that they were physically supposed to travel to KL?
Yes. Yeah, so our first group of Japanese, actually, they came over to KL in February. So that was our first group. And we were supposed to have the second group in May. But because of COVID-19, we had to have those plans postponed. We're not sure when yet, but when they announced an extension on the MCO, so I have had a discussion with my team. Also talking to some clients, we decided to bring the platform online.
I guess for Dateworks, the whole face-to-face relationship is key or essential.
Yep.
Were there like major hesitations to shifting online?
Yes. From the first day that we had Dateworks, with everything online right now, everything can be gotten online. You want a meal, you want to talk to somebody, you can do it online. There's no need for you to leave your house. So by meeting a lot of clients, we realized that people do not know how to interact with people anymore. You know, the physical interaction, communication is not great anymore. So we want Dateworks to be different. We want to bring people out of their house. We want real communication, real conversation, real interaction. Of course, it's natural for people to take their platform online when hit with this COVID-19 pandemic. I hesitated a lot. I think I had so many discussions with my team. How are we going to make this work? Because then we are just going to be like some other online dating platform. You know, how are we going to verify the profiles of these clients and all? But thankfully, the team, my team, they're just amazing. They told me we have to try something. We never try, we'll never know.
So the virtual dating option was launched on April 17th. So what did you guys have to do leading up to April 17th? Because it was exactly 1 month after MCO was put in place. Yeah. So what were you guys up to during that month?
Okay, so we were focusing on our one-to-one matchmaking. So when it was announced the second time that it's going to be extended again, meaning 1 month when we're going, we were in the second MCO, second phase of MCO. We knew that we have to launch this plan, launch this virtual dating platform so that we continue to connect our clients. What we did was, of course, there were a lot of testing needed. We got to make sure that the virtual platform is user-friendly. And how do we go from there? So people register online. My matchmaker, our team of matchmakers, will still call them and we'll then have a face-to-face virtual profiling session with them.
Okay, so what you guys usually do face-to-face, you're now just doing it virtually?
Yes, yes. The personalized service is still there. So there's one-to-one profiling session. And right after that, our matchmaking team will still matchmake them one-to-one. We still do the same matchmaking process and we share the profiles to each of the clients. They have approved it. Then we will set up a virtual meeting for them with us moderating the session to ensure that it's safe. It's still a safe platform for them to meet.
So you guys are virtual chaperones on their dates.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like? Was it a welcomed element to the whole experience?
Yeah, so at first, you know, we were like, well, isn't it weird, you know, being, you are like interrupting someone's date. But thankfully, we have a very good relationship with our clients and they trust us a lot. And some clients, they actually feel more comfortable having us there. We'll moderate the session for about 15 minutes. And if we see that it's going okay, we'll excuse ourselves so that they have the privacy, you know, to get to know each other. And since each session is about 45 minutes, if we usually go into the platform again 5 minutes before 45 minutes ends to see if they would like to extend the session.
Right. Let's talk numbers now. What kind of connections were you guys making before the MCO and how did the business fare during those months of lockdown?
Okay. Before MCO, it was a really great first quarter for us. On a monthly basis, we were sending out close to 200 pairs for matchmaking. In March, right, we were very happy because we were actually nearing a new record in terms of revenue and also the matches that were being sent out. But unfortunately, MCO was announced. We still had a good month in March because of the first 2 weeks. And April onward, we see at least 70% reduction in matchmaking in terms of sending them out on dates, yeah. Because not everyone is comfortable meeting people online. So we wanted to make sure that our clients are at their most, you know, comfortable self when they are meeting someone. So we asked them, we will ask them if now this option is available. Do you want to take it? Because if not, we can always wait until, you know, the, when it's safer to do so.
So what was your runway like at that point? Did you have funds in order to see you through?
Well, we were okay until end of this year, actually. Quite grateful for that. But also because of the revenue loss during that 3 months, I'm saying April to June, the second quarter, I did not take pay home for 1 or 2 months. It was very, very important for me that I get to keep everyone in the company. We actually had a lot of touching discussions and virtual meetings. We discuss and we say that there are certain sacrifices that we have to make in terms of pay cut. And of course, I being the leader, have to take the biggest hit. But I was very happy to do so, because these are the people, you know, that can really stay with us during good and hard times. Yep. And once MCO is lifted, I'm very happy, actually. Our revenue is climbing back up. I was very surprised, because I thought, you know, this would be the last thing people would want to spend on.
But I guess what we missed was most probably the physical connection, the physical interaction, you know, just being able to step out of your house and to have a meal with someone. Yeah. All of a sudden, it felt like a novelty again.
That's why I said we are so grateful and so lucky to have the support of our clients. I remember when MCO was first lifted, we said, okay, let's see how it goes. We are not gonna set up any physical dates just yet, you know, to see how things are. And so the first week, we made calls to each and every clients of ours to let them know that, okay, we are back to our office. We will start sending you out 2 weeks later when, you know, if things are really okay. And of course, the clients must be comfortable. And I realized, you know, we were surprised. A lot of clients say that, yeah, I can't wait. You know, in fact, if you open up earlier, just send me. Yeah, because some of the clients waited since March, yeah, to go on a date. Yeah, so so it's really, we're really lucky, very grateful that things work out along the way.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages right now, but when we come back, why cross-border matchmaking is on the rise and why success rates are not. Voice of SMEs with Dateworks will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
This is Voice of SMEs. My name is Audrey Raj. Joanne Ng, CEO of matchmaking agency Dateworks, is online with me right now. And we are discussing the lost art of making meaningful connections and how the coronavirus is facilitating a boom in virtual dating. So Joanne, we are currently at the tail end of the RMCO, well, fingers crossed at least. Have you guys discussed keeping the virtual dating option open post-coronavirus?
Yes, we still kept it open because it's so uncertain right now. And we see a lot of countries going into, you know, their second lockdown. I think we learned from the first MCO. Virtual dating, actually, of course, I will still prefer one-to-one matchmaking, physical dates. But if we can't do that, there must be something that still connects our clients.
And is this temporarily, or do you think that this is going to be an option that will remain?
It will be an option that will remain. Because during the time that we introduce virtual dates, we actually gain more international clients as well.
Okay, I want to come back to cross-border matchmaking. But first, there's something that you said before the break that really caught my attention. Now, you said something about verifying profiles. And I guess, you know, I'm not in the business, so I never thought of this. But you really have to ensure that the people who are your clients are who they say they are, right? So
yes.
How do you do that?
Okay, so my team of matchmakers, they will schedule a virtual meeting with the client, the new client, after their registration. and we will verify those information given to us. Of course, we'll ask them for supporting documents as well to ensure that this is really the person, you know, we are talking to. And I guess moderating the sessions help also, because we know who is actually going onto the platform to meet our clients.
Because that's one thing. Maybe you can set up that appointment and it might be one person, and then have another person show up for the date. So all kinds of nefarious things human beings are capable of.
Yes, we've been in the people business since 2017. We've seen all kinds of people. And I think it's also very important to set up that virtual profiling session, because you'll be able to see if this person is in his, you know, his or her sound mind, he's okay. Because we do not want to send our clients out with someone that is, you know, psychologically or mentally disturbed.
Since your services technically differ now, you know, because it all involves a screen, do the charges differ as well?
Yeah, the virtual dating is more affordable than the one-to-one physical meetings.
And how does that affect your margins as well? Because now there's less face-to-face.
So for virtual dating, actually, the volume is quite good. We sell by volume. Like I said, after MCO, we are quite lucky. Our revenue for one-to-one physical dates are also coming back to normal. So that's a good sign. That's a good thing.
Okay, so coming back to cross-border matchmaking, you mentioned earlier that because you've moved to virtual dating and virtual events, you've garnered more international clients. Where are they from, and what is that situation like right now?
Okay, so mostly they are from Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, of course, and Indonesia. Okay, let me just give you an example, just like Japan. Why did we set up a company there? Japan is it's very different from us. Japan is it's a more conservative country. There are a lot of people there that are having difficulties finding matches based on, you know, similar personalities, life goals. So they have to look somewhere else. For Japan, Malaysia is actually their number one retirement country. For Japanese who visited here, even my Japanese partner in Japan, they love Malaysia. They love how different the people here are as well. Malaysians, we are warm, friendly, and of course, Malaysian food. So for people from other countries, we want to open our doors to everybody. We do not want to discriminate. We have clients from other countries, let's say Australia, they can't find partners there. And they've been to Malaysia, or they've met Malaysian and they like Malaysians. So there's always, you know, a different story behind why they are looking for someone here in Malaysia.
So Joanne, I know that Dateworks does more than just the matchmaking. You also do networking events, and you are heavily involved in event coordination as well, right? Yeah. So what happens now to these physical meetings and events? You know, how much of a hit has your business taken because of the inability to host the events? And what's next in this line of your business?
Okay, so besides matchmaking, we have events, you're right, events and date coaching and image consultation as well. So for events, we had to cancel a few events, a few physical events, and take them online. We realized that already when you have a big group, the success rate is lower when it comes to matchmaking. So when you bring it on the virtual platform, the success rate is even lower. So what we are focusing on right now is virtual events, but we introduce workshops. Before this, our physical events, we used to have at least 30 to 50 people, depending on events. Some is just some are dining events. Some workshops. So what we used to do is to encourage interaction. So we have games during the physical events. We want to make sure that each and every one of them interact and meet all the people at the event. So now, what's done differently for virtual events, the number of people have to be limited to a maximum of 15. We still do ice-breaking games, but of course, it's those games that can be done virtually. Yeah. So for virtual events, we need more manpower because we have to break down the size to different rooms. Yeah. So we need more people there to moderate, to host. Yep.
All right, Joanne, what would you say has been the biggest challenge for Dateworks and for running a business in this segment during this time?
The biggest challenge would be, of course, revenue. For me, it is really ensuring that my team, they still have a job, to ensure that they are taken care of during this difficult time. You know, that's the most challenging thing for me since the start. I've been having weekly meetings, even with the shareholders, to ensure that, of course, shareholders, they look at things differently. They want to ensure that the company stays afloat for as long as possible. So there were discussions of reducing headcounts and all, but I'm so glad that step was never taken. So I would say personally for me as someone who's heading Dateworks, it's really to keep my team together for as long as possible.
Right. Were there any lessons that you will take away from running a business during this pandemic?
What I learned is, just like today, I had a discussion with my team. I say that what we learned in March is that we had a very good head start for the year, and we were very lucky for that. But are we recession-proof? Can we take another hit? So that's, you know, a very, very important question to ask ourselves. Like, we are okay now. The month of July just ended, and we were very happy with the results, and Melbourne going into that just went into lockdown yesterday for another 6 weeks. Are we ready for, you know, even the next one? You know, can we handle this? So we have to prepare ourselves for all these uncertainties.
I've been speaking with CEO of Dateworks, Joanne Ng. Now, if you missed out on any part of this conversation or would like to catch up on other episodes of this special Voice of SME series, go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. You can also find it on the BFM app, which you can find on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Or you can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, and all your favorite podcast hosting sites. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Voice of SMEs on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.